Up next, we're going to hear from Daniel Belding in blind hockey. Here's Daniel.
I'm a lot shorter. All right. Everybody hear me? So, how many hockey fans do we have here tonight or today? Not a ton. You got the Fort Wayne Comets out here. They're a good team, but the Indy Fuel, I think, is a little bit better. So hockey is a very visual sport. The puck in sided hockey will move anywhere from 80 to 110 miles an hour. It's 3 inches in diameter. It's a round rubber puck, and it's 1 inch tall. And as a kid, I grew up playing sided hockey, always being legally blind, and that little puck is an elusive little guy. And I could, I loved it at the end of the games. It was my best because I could hear the puck on the ice. But at the beginning, it was real smooth, and I couldn't find it at all without my mom yelling at me from the stands. And just a couple years ago, I found out about blind hockey. So a little puck got transformed into a 5.5-inch diameter, 2-inch tall steel shell with 8 ball bearings in it. So some players that have a little bit more vision, they can actually see the puck on the ice. And those of us who can't see the puck on the ice, we can hear it as it rattles around. Now, blind hockey, in my opinion, is one of the greatest blind sports just because that's what it was a passion I loved. Grew up playing hockey from 6 years old to 15, and then I thought the blindness took hockey away from me, and that was a real bitter point in my life. But then at age 29, I found out about blind hockey, was able to lace up the skates again and get out there and actually go out and play hockey, which is fantastic, except the first time I played, they have what they call cruiser skates, and they have toe picks on the front to keep you from going fast when you go to public skates, and I could not figure that out, so I just fell on my face a whole lot and really embarrassed myself in front of the international president of blind hockey, to which I got the nickname Toe Picks after that. But with that opportunity, I got to go to Chicago at the Disabled Hockey Festival, where they have 6 disciplines of disabled hockey, from blind hockey, deaf, hard of hearing hockey, sled hockey for people with physical disabilities where they sit in a sled and play. They have standing amputee for those that can play hockey in prosthetics. I don't get how they do it. And then they also have special hockey for people with cognitive delays. So hockey, the big thing with USA Hockey is they want to make sure everybody knows hockey is for everyone. Whatever the disability, whatever the situation, their goal is to make hockey accessible for anybody and everybody. So with blind hockey, I was able to try out and make the first USA national blind hockey team in 2018. We were able to play against the Canadian blind hockey team in Pittsburgh, where we found out the Canadians are definitely really good at hockey. So we took second to them in that tournament, got to get a silver medal from that. And then now just in 2 weeks, we're actually heading out to Canada to play them on their home turf for the second international hockey series. Right now, the U.S. has a national team. The Canadians have a national team. Over in Europe, the UK is starting to grow and have a national team. Russia has a national team they've developed this year. And Finland is also working on, and with Sweden, they're working on creating a blind team together. So there's a lot of growth outside of America. A little bit of history on blind hockey. It was started back in 1972 in Canada, where they didn't really have rules. They had the idea for it, and every team had their own puck. And these pucks could be anything from a Folgers coffee can with nuts and bolts in it to whatever else you could think of that would be big enough and make noise. So instead of playing 3 periods of hockey, which is normally played, they played 4 quarters, where they play with one team's rule and one team's puck, and the next 2 periods were played with another team's puck and the other team's rules. Needless to say, teams didn't get along. It turned into your typical hockey where they just fought each other. It was a bloodbath. And then they didn't see each other for 10 years because they hated everyone. In 2010, Matt Morrow, who is the president of International Blind Hockey now, got all the teams together and said, we're taking a great sport, we're taking a really good opportunity for the blind and visually impaired community to play a sport. We need to make this right and get a set standard rules. So they got together in Canada, created the set of rules, and they created a true blind hockey organization. In 2014, they invited the American, as they call him, because he was the only American that was there, to come up to Canada and play in a tournament. He actually lived down in Indianapolis at the time. He's out in New York now. And he came up and they showed him the sport, invited him. He played, he loved it, came back, and started blind hockey in America. In 2014, we had 4 players out of the whole country that played blind hockey. Now we have over 160 athletes 5 years later. We have a national team that's competed internationally. We have programs. We have programs in 10 different states. We have a program right here in Indiana. We do not have a team name yet, because we're trying to get enough players where we can actually create a team name. So right now, we're just Indiana Blind Hockey. We have Christopher Meyer, who spoke earlier. He's one of our star players. He traveled out to Toronto last year and played against other players in Canada. And so one way that blind hockey works is we are a team here at home, but when we travel to tournaments, there might be one team that just would dominate everybody. And we want to make sure it's a fun, enjoyable experience for everyone. And we also really believe in building community. As blind people, we know being in the NFB, this is our family. This is a place where we can come to. It's a safe place to talk about issues we're having, struggles we're having. If we have a parents division, parents that need to learn, how am I going to check my baby's temperature? How am I going to do this? Well, we have a group we can talk to about that. So with blind hockey, we want to build that community. So what we do is we have all the players come in. We do a game where we have a kind of like a tryout session where all the players get on the ice, we run some drills, the coaches watch, and then we separate all the players onto different teams. That way, you might be actually playing against your home team teammates when you're at a tournament. And that way, it makes it more of an equal playing field. One thing that's really different with blind hockey is we are not required to wear a blindfold. The only position that has to wear a blindfold is the goalie, and the goalie internationally is required to be a B1 athlete, meaning that they are totally blind. That doesn't segregate them from playing any other position. My defensive partner on Team USA is a B1, and he is probably the top defenseman, probably one of the top three defenders in the entire world of blind hockey, and that's out of about 500 players. So the way it's set up is typically your higher vision players will play forward, the mid-range, the B2s, would play defense, and then B1s are playing goalie. And that was how it was set up originally back in the 70s. And as we've gotten more progressive, it's been where you have B3s, B2s, possibly B1s playing offense, B2s, B3, all of them playing defense. But internationally, B1s are the only ones allowed to play goalie. In typical national play, it doesn't matter what your vision level is, you can play goalie, but you do still have to wear a blindfold. So some of the differences between sighted hockey and blind hockey is, one, you have to have 2200 or less vision. Our puck's a lot bigger and makes a lot of noise. And you have to make one pass in the offensive zone before you can take a shot. And what happens once you make a pass to your teammate, the ref will blow an electronic whistle. And what that's doing is signaling to the goalie that they need to get ready to start taking shots. So like I said, the hockey puck in sighted hockey goes from about 80 to 110 miles an hour. I would say I have one of the hardest shots on the U.S. team and then also internationally. And my shot ranges anywhere between 40 and maybe getting a little over 50 miles an hour. So our pucks, like I said, they're a hollow steel shell. So we go through about two a game, just with the dents and bumps. And when we have our demonstrator later on this afternoon, you can check out a puck that hasn't been used and pucks that have been used, and you can definitely feel the difference on those. At the national team level, we actually play against sighted teams. That's how we get our practices in. We want to, they don't wear any blindfolds or anything. They just, the only adaptive is we give them one of our goalies so we get good practice, and then they have us chase them around for a while because they can see that puck really good. But it's really good practice for us. It's a good opportunity for them to kind of get a better understanding of how blind sports are played. And really, blind hockey is played exactly the same way, except for those few modifications. Does anybody have any questions about blind hockey or how it's played?
Comes a mic.
So how many players on the team on the ice at one time?
People on the team did not hear that question.
So in ice hockey, you have three forwards. You have a center and a left wing and a right wing. You have two defensemen and one goalie. So there's six players on each team at a time. On a team itself, our team here in Indiana, there is no limit to how many players we'll have on the team. And it also doesn't matter what ability you have. If you've never set foot on the ice before, if you've never even heard of hockey, if you haven't even dreamed of ice skating before, it doesn't matter. Our program isn't set up to just produce hockey players. Our goal is to create a fun environment and break down barriers between the blind and low vision community to get them into a recreational activity and help them get connected with other blind and low vision players. So what we do at our practices is we have skating coaches that will come in and work with you on the basics of ice skating. And if that's all you want to do is just come and skate around, that's all you have to do. If that's what you want to do, that's what you do. If you want to progress and start learning how to play the game of hockey, then we have coaches there that will also help you in learning the sport and how to play, positioning, different things of that nature. Tobia?
Coming.
Thank you so much. So you're talking about pucks flying at 40, 50 miles an hour and folks who maybe haven't skated. So can we talk, like, what kind of padding and what kind of safety features are there for folks
Definitely.
Who might want to try it out?
Definitely. So in hockey, you are covered head to toe in gear. So you have a helmet with a full either cage or face shield, which is the cage is a metal cage that goes over your face. It sits probably about 2 inches away from your face and straps onto the helmet. Or you can have a plastic visor shield that still covers your entire face, but it's actually a hard plastic which is actually what I play with. Then you also have shoulder pads that cover your shoulders, just like in football, your chest and your back. Elbow pads, because it hurts to fall without elbow pads. You have breezers, which are hockey pants. They look like a really oversized pair of shorts that protects your thighs, your hips, your butt. And then you have shin and knee pads that cover your lower legs. And your skates are actually a harder material, so when the puck hits your skate, it actually doesn't, you don't really feel it at all. And then the goalies, they have a different style of helmet that actually is elongated, so it comes down and covers the neck as well. Their shoulder pads go from their shoulders all the way down their back, all the way down their stomach, and all the way down their arms, covering their elbows and their entire body. The regular hockey gloves are like an oversized padded winter glove, where the goalie gloves, one of them looks like a catcher's mitt, and the other one is a glove with a big blocker. It almost looks like a shield on the other glove. And their stick is different than a regular stick. Has a skinny shaft with a blade on the end, a wooden blade or a composite blade. And the goalie stick has a fatter shaft, so it helps them block the puck better. Their leg pads are from their feet all the way up to their hips, and they're about 18 inches wide, and they're real thick material. So they use that covering their legs to block the puck.
All right, Daniel.
Yes, thank you.